So we bring in our special NASCAR reporter. It's Rusty Ray, originally from WBTW down the CBS affiliate in Myrtle Beach. Good morning, Rusty.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Really good. I wanted to introduce you to Lucas McFadden, who is our CN2 correspondent here. He has joined us now in Palmetto Morning. So you two kind of have the same background as far as television goes.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, Rusty.
Yeah, being on radio means you don't have to shave or put on a tie, right?
That's oh man, I do have to shave and I do have to tie. I do have to wear a tie, I got the wrong place maybe. But I'm not wearing pants, so they didn't tell me about the pants memo. So I just showed up in my underwear.
Well, whatever it takes to get through the morning. Now, did Freddie tell you that this is NASCAR 101?
Yes, that's exactly.
He teaches me something every single week.
Hey, listen, I'm in the same boat.
All right. Well, we got your expertise, Rusty, and when we talk about Dover, you mentioned last week in the program, you said you got to think about Jimmy Johnson. Well, they're really thinking about Jimmy Johnson in Dover.
Yeah, he had an incredible win and moved him into all-time talks among the top drivers in terms of wins. He tied one of his idols, Cale Yarborough, for all-time wins, and so he's climbing the list. I don't think he's going to get to Richard Petty, who's got 200 wins all time. I don't think anybody's going to ever get to Richard Petty. But big win for Jimmy Johnson, and just kind of shows that this is his little swing here, that he does pretty well every season. Charlotte and then Dover, and he knows how to win at Dover now, 11 wins, and just incredible performance by his team, and in the right place at the right time. A little late race, a little mishap there, and some wrecks, and did what he had to do to get the win.
Now, unfortunately, you and your Kyle Busch love it. I know that you love him very much. You feel he's the best driver on the track right now. But, of course, unfortunately, they got a little bit of a penalty with Joe Gibbs Racing.
Yeah, you know, the thing about NASCAR is you got to have all four tires on. And it got away from him, and that's a major safety problem, and obviously. And so, yeah, it's a big penalty. Now, four races without his crew chief and two of his crew members. Oh. And that just shows that NASCAR is not messing around when it comes to penalties or the punishments, and all in the name of safety. And it's not something that anybody did nefariously or to gain advantage. It just wasn't tight, and the wheel came off, and now they're going to pay the price. And so, I don't know. This is tough for Kyle Busch, because you're talking about four races that he could do well in. He's got Pocono, and then they got Michigan, where he certainly could get a win, and they got the road course where he's been pretty good in the past. And then they've got Daytona, which coming up July 4th weekend. He's capable of winning at all those tracks, but when they don't have their crew chief or all their crew members, the rhythm gets off and the chemistry gets off, and it puts them at a disadvantage.
All right, well, so we're looking ahead to Pocono. Talk a little bit about that, what we can expect
and
there.
And a tricky triangle.
It is a tricky triangle. There you go. Now, Freddie, you've been up there. You lived up there or something like that,
I did.
Right?
I spent some time at a bed and breakfast up there. My friends were they owned the bed and breakfast, so I worked in the Poconos.
Very nice. It is the tricky triangle. It's a big, wide-open track. It is a triangle shape, but 2.5 miles around. And so it's a lot of territory to cover, and in each of the corners is different. There's three turns instead of four, and so there's different angles and different approaches and long straightaways. The front straightaway, the longest in NASCAR and one of the longest in racing. So you get this extreme amount of speed built up before you get to turn one. And turn one has been the scene of some really hard crashes and where things can kind of get mixed up, especially on a restart where cars are two or three or even four wide trying to get space. And so we see a lot of different things happen at Pocono. And speed is definitely key, and of course gas mileage and pit strategy is still a key, because it is so big and so spread out, and if they get these long green flag runs, people can run out of gas very easily.
Well, how are we going to do it? Dale Jr. was pretty good up there a couple years ago. Is he going to repeat that, you think?
Yeah, he is really good there. He's got several top five finishes in addition to the couple of wins he picked up. He swept the season at Pocono a few years ago, and that was pretty cool. That was a big season for him. And I think that this is another place where he can kind of get it together. If true NASCAR fans who watch the Radioactive segment every week on cable or can catch it on YouTube like I do, you hear the radio chatter from the previous week, and he and his crew chief not seeing eye to eye on everything right now. He and Greg Ives, I don't know, it was kind of chippy. It was kind of, listen, are we talking the same language here? So I don't know what's going on with Dale Jr. I think he's got one eye kind of out the door, and I think he's feeling the pressure to get a win. And Pocono is a good place for him to get on. I think we're in a crucial stretch, because he's won before at Michigan. He's certainly won before at Daytona. I think that he could do well for himself to get a win at one of these next four tracks and really get himself set and really get some excitement built up as we through the mid part of the season.
Yeah, he's got senioritis. He's ready to go, right? He's on his farewell tour.
I think so. I think he says, look, I've still got the competitive urge and I've still got the desire to do well, but yeah, I don't know what's going on with his team. I think that the results that he's seen and the performance that he's produced are not what he's capable of, even if he's still kind of got that senior eye. I think that's a good way to put it, but I still think he can get a win, and I think these next four races are definitely in his wheelhouse to get that win.
You know, Martin Truex won last year. He's had a great run with points this year.
He really is. I mean, just Martin Truex is just kind of, not really quietly, but he's just kind of doing what he has to do, and more importantly than the wins, which are good, and he can always use more, he's winning stages. In each race, they have 2-3 stage wins, and you get the points for that. He's got something like 7 stage wins this season.
Okay.
That's a lot of extra points, and that's really going to bode well for him going into the playoffs later this summer and into the fall. And you know, yeah, he could pick up another win here at Pocono. He could do well for himself to get a win at Michigan. And I think that Martin Truex is sitting really well right now. And, you know, some guys may have more wins when the season ends, but all these stage wins, Martin Truex is doing good things, leading a lot of laps, getting a lot of points.
All right, so if folks are fascinated and they have never watched NASCAR before, if they're going to watch the race or listen to the race this weekend, what are maybe one or two takeaways that folks need to – who they need to pay attention to and what they need to pay attention to?
Well, you got to keep an eye on Arn Truex with the win last year and the way he's performing right now. And this is a guy who has a lot of wins at Pocono, and that's Denny Hamlin. And boy, he really liked to get the victory lane.
Wow,
it's been
yeah.
a while for him. And,
yeah, no kidding.
That would do a lot for Joe Gibbs Racing as well to get back in victory lane. And, you know, Denny's had kind of a quiet season and nothing really cooking there. So he could get a win, get himself in the playoffs, keep Joe Gibbs Racing kind of in the front of the conversation. Kurt Busch also runs well, got many, many top five finishes and a couple of wins at Pocono. He does well when it comes to speed. We saw that in Daytona 500 this year. Those are the guys that do well. Jimmy Johnson has done well. Dale Jr. with a couple of wins there. Casey Kane has a couple of wins at Pocono, although his season, people are really writing him off. But, you know, we need to see something from the rest of these Hendrick drivers. Jimmy Johnson really leading the way, but, boy, it would be a good place for Chase Elliott to do well. And it would be a great place for him to get a win. Casey Kane, Dale Jr. really need to get a win, too.
We're talking about the 43 car, Eric Amarola. Of course, he had, Reagan in there last week.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have Darrell Wallace Jr.
Yeah, Bubba Wallace. This is a
Bubba.
Big deal because he's had some success in the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series before that. And he's a very charismatic guy, very likable guy, big time on social media, wisecracking all the time, and a media personality type, and so he's going to do double duty. He's going to drive in the Xfinity Series, and that team is kind of going away. It's been suspended for, I think, financial reasons by his ownership, Roush Fenway. But yeah, he's going to get in and drive for the King. Going to drive for Richard Petty in the number 43 car. It's a great opportunity for him. I don't think we're going to see him set the field on fire and win any of these races, but I think that any experience that Bubba can get driving is good in the Cup Series, and it could bode well for his future. And a lot of people are excited for him to have that opportunity, and certainly no one more excited than him.
Oh, yeah.
He knows the importance of driving the 43 car at a place like Pocono, where Richard Petty did well back in the day.
Holy smoke. All right, so who are your picks, Rusty?
I'm going to go with Hamlin. I'm going to go with the 11. I think that Denny Hamlin needs to do well, and I think this is a place where he can step up and show that not only the 11 team, but the Joe Gibbs Racing is still something to contend with. The Toyotas always have a lot of speed. This is a speed racetrack, and pit strategy could play his way. So I'm gonna pick Denny Hamlin.
All right. Pre-race coverage starts on our sister station, Interstate 107, 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Of course, we're going to enjoy that. And then I guess the flag comes down at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Later start, maybe.
Yeah. Usually it is a little early, but we'll have a good time in Poconos. It'll be a beautiful spot. And Rusty Ray, thank you so much for all of your expertise. NASCAR information, we love it. Every Friday, we enjoy talking to you. So thank you so much.
Good to talk to you guys. Hope you have a great weekend. Lucas, good to meet you.
Likewise.
And keep wearing those ties.
I will. And pants. I got to remember to wear pants. Society, they don't like when you don't wear pants.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you there. It's a little too cold in the studio when I work with you, so I always had to wear pants.
No doubt. Well, Rusty Ray, thanks so much for joining us. It's our NASCAR correspondent, Rusty Ray, live from Minnesota this morning. We enjoy that he's come from Myrtle Beach and contacts us the whole way from the Midwest.
So
have a great weekend.
Hey, you guys have a good one. Be safe.
Thanks, Rusty.